So this is a little bit of a compliment because, I don't know, the second half of the room at least. You know, it's so beautiful outside. No, do you realize that? It's like, I'm a chaya. By us, it's been cloudy in Los Angeles. We're weather spoiled, so it's been cloudy, and everybody's frustrated. It's been cloudy. We don't see the sun. Came here, there's a sun, and there's a breeze, and the mountains, and it's beautiful. So really, everybody should be sitting outside relaxing. So you shouldn't be over here. My wife actually said to me, if I wasn't your wife, I would be sitting outside right now and enjoying the next hour. But what is it going to look like if I, your wife, doesn't come to your lecture? First thing. So there's... But you're here, so that's nice. I hope there's something meaningful that I can share. The nice thing is that, or the important thing is, we start this whole session of us sitting together with... This is a period of time for rejuvenation, as mentioned, and for healing, because we all get a little battered. We all get a little bruised. Shlichus in general is challenging. Shlichus with special needs children is extra challenging, and it causes some kind of a bruise. And we need to recuperate physically. We need to recuperate mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and primarily on a neshama level. Neshama really is, you know, rock solid, but we want to really heal. We want to heal from the inside out. So... we want to heal. That's okay, now it's good. We want to heal from the inside out. So when we, so the best way of healing from the inside out, from the deepest inner core of our neshama, is through chassidus and through a maimer. B'maimer echad yochel lihibaris. That's the whole discussion. So as we did in Florida, we had. The retreat associated a lot around the mimer, which was very geschmack. And as I saw then, there was a huge, it literally lifted people up on a very deep level. So that's the idea. The idea is b'mimer echad yochel lihibaris. With one mimer, simply it means with one mimer, the Eibishter created the world. But the Hasidic take on that is b'mimer echad, with one mimer, yochel lihibaris, a person can be healed. So we can be healed with a mimer. And as this week in the parsha, the parsha says Nasa Yisroish, and Nasa Yisroish means ufheben the cup. If they lift up our heads, because where our head goes the rest of the body. So if we can only lift our heads up to a higher place to see things from a deeper, higher, godlier place, so that the Rebbe translates. That's the reason the Rebbe says Parshas Nasa is right after Shavuos, because we just got a head lift. Since we got Torah, what does Torah do? Torah is ma'ale d'moichen of a person. Torah primarily, mitzvahs relate to the whole body, but Torah is be'ikr, an exercise of the mind. So Nasa Yisroish is through the aliyah of the head. The Rebbe says, what happens next? The rest of the body is elevated with the head. So the rest of the person is elevated. So when we will sit together over here, Be'ezus Hashem, elevate our perspective, elevate our understanding, and what better thing to do that is let the Rebbe do that for us, as we will learn a mimer together, that will hopefully elevate us in a mimer that relates to particularly the situations that we're in. Hopefully it will do the trick of Nasi Yisroish. It will lift up the head and put us into a different space. And I think the difference that it will cause, hopefully, is later in the parsha you have the Nesiim, they brought the Agolis, they brought the wagons. And the wagons were here to help them move the Mishkan. So they're moving the Mishkan from place to place. The Leviim got the assistance of the wagons. So we look in the Parsha, now everybody knows it already because we did it already round one. Now we're on to round two. So when it comes to moving the Agolis, you find that there are three families. It's Gershon, Kohos, and Merari. So when it comes to when it comes to Gershon and to Merari, it says that they said, give them the wagons. Give them the wagons. But Lebnei Kohos lo inosan. To the family of Kohos, they didn't give wagons. By them it says, Bakosef Yeso. They have to carry it on their shoulders. The Pashtus, the simple reason is, that the Bnei Kohos didn't have such a hard. They were carrying the kalim. The kalim perhaps were not so heavy. But the Bnei Gershon and the Bnei Merari, they had to carry the heavy beams. They had to carry all these carpets, the tapestries that were the yariyos, and all these inyanim and the pegs. These were very, very heavy material. And because it was heavy material, they needed the assistance of the agolis. They needed wagons to help them out. The Bnei Kahas, they're carrying lighter stuff. But that emphasis is not true. I once saw a Rebbe, I don't remember where it was, but he did a cheshbon, this person did a cheshbon of how crazy heavy the Aron was. The Aron was not, it's spectacular heavy. It's not normal, the heaviness of the Aron. It's a miracle that the Badim didn't crack. Now, Chazal tell us Aron noises noiso, that the Aron carried the people, but let's understand that for a moment. We're dealing with a slab of gold that was a tefach, just the cover, I'm not talking about the Aron itself, just the kapoides was a tefach thick, of pure gold. Now, gold is the heaviest of all metals. 2.5 cubits long, 1.5 cubit wide, amis wide, plus it had the two kruvim on the top, pure gold. And then the luchais themselves were made out of stone, two huge stones. Impossible. It's impossible to lift that up. And the two wooden sticks definitely couldn't hold it. So we know there's a miracle. Other noises, noisov. The Aron lifted it and it carried them. But if we can translate that miracle and take it away from Maisa Nisim and turn it more into a psychological type of a thing, I think the reason the Bnei Kohos were carried by the Aron wasn't so much because of a miracle that happened that carried them, but because the Bnei Kohos understood that they're carrying the Aron. So you have all the Levim, they're carrying around the Mishkan. That's just really us shluchim. Our job is to erect the Mishkan. We're in the desert. Either literally the desert over here in Palm Springs, like we have a shliach from Palm Springs, or the deserts across the entire world, which is called Midbar Amim. Our avoda is to plant the Mishkan over there, to make a Dirla Yizbarach in the most far-fetched corners, places of whatever. So that's our avoda. Now, we transport from place to place. We're moving the Mishkan. Now the question is, are we schleppers that are schlepping this heavy load? And as a result of that, we need all kinds of help from the outside, which Yaldeh gives us tremendous help and various other helps. But the bottom line is that you need these agolos that come and help your schlep. Or if you're the Bnei Kahas, what is the Bnei Kahas? They recognize they're carrying the Aron. They're carrying the Menorah, the Shulchan, they're carrying Mamash, the Kalim, and the holiest of all, they're transporting the Ebersh there from place to place. This is wild. So when you recognize and you understand that, the enthusiasm of carrying that is utter noises, noises, that carries you. Vayisa Yaakov Isaraglov, Yaakov lifted his legs once he had the Ebersh's brachas. You become weightless. And that's it. We're all coming over here, pretty much, a little tzitzit, the little, we're all shluchim, we're all excited, but at the same time, things take a toll. And we're there the whole year in shlichus, and as we know, in the retreat over here was the last 5 years ago, and sometimes the weight gets to us, and it's bogging us down, and it causes, you know, scars in our neshama, it scars in our, at least in our emotional cycle. So hopefully when we learn the Maimer, let's hope that what it can do, this is my intention, is that it should flip us from being the Bnei Gershon and the Bnei Merari, which Merari means bitter, and Gershon means you feel a little bit abandoned, you feel a little bit rejected, dejected, or whatever the feeling is, and to feel like the Bnei Kohos. And as a result of that, we leave with a deeper understanding. And that head lift, that Nasi Yisroish, and when we have the Nasi Yisroish, then the Avodah becomes enjoyable, not only enjoyable, but even pleasurable, and even with the extra challenges that we have, because the main point over here is the reframing of the mind, of understanding what the place of our special needs children is in our shlichus. So what I think is the most, again, let me share with you which mimer we're going to be learning. But basically, this is going to be the Chassidus that we're going to learn tomorrow morning and the next day. And this is just a little overview. So to get you as a teaser to come to this year, because everybody wants to sleep in the morning. So here's a little teaser to come learn in the morning. Because you allow the Rebbe's words to sink into, deep into your, consciously, you'll take whatever you can, subconsciously, you'll let it go deep, deep, deep. So this mimer that I chose was basically, last time we were by the retreat, he called, I had to give him something, it was over Shabbos, I sat Shabbos afternoon, I'm going through all the Rebbe's mimer, I'm looking for a mimer, which mimer, which, and I couldn't do it. A few years ago, we did one which dealt mamash with special needs children. It was an awesome mimer. He has the recording, if you want to listen to that, those who were not over there, it literally is a mind shifter. It's phenomenal. As a mimer that Tzemach Tzedek and Derech Mitzasecha, but now he needed Nuschaira, because so I was looking through, I was taking all the Malukatim and going through, looking for a mimer. And Baruch Hashem, I chanced upon this one. I didn't even learn the whole thing. I looked at it a little bit. I said, this seems like it's the right thing. So it's the 12th mimer that the Rebbe said in the Tchilas HaNasiyas. It's from Tashin Yud Aleph, Yud Beis Tammuz. The mimer is headed Nesata L'Reyecha Neis L'Hisnoises. There's a second one, a more famous one, that's in the Malukit, but this is a mimer, Nesata L'Reyecha Neis L'Hisnoises, a very powerful mimer. And the ideas over here that we would like to take from this mimer, at least, there's so many rich ideas over here that can really, really shift our minds and reframe, as we say, and the reframing to the point that we can look at our special needs children, our challenges, in a unique and special way. But I think the main point that I think is, to me, very important is the idea that the question is, you know, we might, I don't know how you're thinking, but a lot of times we fall into a place where we're recognized, we're on shlichus, and because we're on shlichus, our avoid is to be makariv yidden to Torah mitzvahs. Our avoid is afotzes amayonis, to bring yidden to chsidis and to bring people to the Rebbe and to connect yidden. Our avoid, as the Rebbe said, is lahachanes oilum kule lekabel pnei Mashiach tzedkenu. We have to prepare the entire world for the geula of Mashiach. So that involves all reaching out, all the work that we do, whether it's our Hanukkah programs, Purim programs, our camps, our schools, our Hebrew schools, whatever it is that we're doing, it's all part of that avoid. Now, we have our family, of course, and our family, of course, is very important to us. And over here as well, it's possible for people to see their family as kind of just another aspect, but not really my shlichus. My shlichus is my shlichus, and there happens to be my husband, there happens to be my wife, happens to be my children. But that's obviously, we understand that's all totally wrong, because your family, education of your family, and building a Jewish family is your shlichus, is the shlichus ha'ikris in where you are. Of course, you can do that in Crown Heights, you can do that in Muncie, you can do that in a place like that, but you're doing the same thing and doing it in a faraway place or wherever it is where you are, and you can say, well, that is not tafka shlichus, that every couple that gets married and has children has to raise their children in a way of Torah, Chassidus, Yerushalayim, and so on and so forth. But nevertheless, no, it is a shaychus to the place that you are, and it has an effect on it, as we're going to see soon. But when it comes to a special needs child, which adds to just can make lots of problems and lots of hardships and lots of difficulties and so on and so forth. So then, what is it? Then we kind of see it more or less as a nisayon or a test or some kind of a extra baggage that's weighing us down. Not the child. The child is not the baggage, but the deficiencies of the child, which is making my life so hard and so difficult and draining my energy every single day. So that's a challenge to my shlichus. So let me try to figure out the best that I can make that the least disruptive of my life, take care of what I need to take care of, and then when I'm done doing that, I get back to my shlichus, which is to inspire yidden and so on and so forth. So that idea needs to change. And that changes in this mimer. Because what we're going to learn in the mimer is actually that your special needs child is your shlichus. Not only is it your shlichus, it's the way you're going to impact your community and your place and your makam shlichus way, way deeper on a far more essential level than all the pa'ulas put together that you have. Your Pesach program, your Hanukkah program, your big Seder, everything you're doing, your aulas that you're going to do, your big Rosh Hashanah minyan, Kippur minyan, it's possible. And it seems like what the Rebbe is saying is that what's negeya most is what's happening dafka with and because of your special needs child. And it's affecting, not only is it affecting you, it's a personal challenge to you, it's affecting the makam ashlichas. It's affecting, and it's doing the ultimate bitter. What's the idea? The idea is, just briefly, before we kind of unpack it, But the idea is very briefly, is that when we're going on shlichus, we're going to our avodah is to be meichen the entire makim. In other words, we're going to an environment, to a place, and we're going to make this place ready for dira b'tachtayinim. And that is, and again, it's done through all the pa'ulas that we do, but we're making the place into a vessel, a place that's machen roi l'ashroi sashchina for the Eberster to be there. We will do that through the mikveh we will build, through the preschool we will make, to the school, to the kashrus, whatever it is that we're going to be doing. The place changes. The nature of the place changes. Now, in Hasidic lingo that we've been learning all the years, all of that has to do with birir hanitzutzus. There's nitzutzei kedusha that have to be there. It's interesting, we know there is a Geshmaka Medrash. The Medrash speaks about Mashiach Tzidkenu. And the Medrash says that the time Mashiach comes to the Yidden, and he tells the Yidden, the Rebbe brought the Yidden say to the Mashiach comes and tells the Yidden, B'chodesh hazeh, atem negolim, and this chodesh, you're being redeemed. It's a Medrash in Shir HaShirim. It says that the Yidden say to Mashiach, how can that be? We were told, we have a tradition, that we need to be sent, that Yidden have to be everywhere, that the Yidden have to be scattered and they need to go across the entire world. And we have not yet gotten across the entire world. So Mashiach Tzidkenu answers them two answers. He tells them, number one, through this, the Rebbe always quoted the end of the Medrash. The Rebbe didn't quote the beginning of the Medrash. But the Medrash says, through one of you, Echad Mikem Goyla Barvavia, Barvavia, whatever. One of you is going to this city, and one is going to Smartatya, whatever. And this one is going over here, and this one is going over there. It's as if Nishtabatem, you've been in every place in the world. And the second thing is that there is this one country that everybody's mile attacks to that country. It's interesting. To me, it sounds like that was the dialogue that Rebbe had Parshas Vayeshev with the Chassidim when the Rebbe said that how France is already nisbadir and how the whole world is impacted by France and France was so shvera bitter and so on and so forth. But the idea is that there's bitter nitzutzes, without oifeb nitzutzes, so we go everywhere. Now, the Rebbe brings in the Maimer that there are the nitzutzim that are the hachi achroinim. They're the final nitzutzei kedusha. That are tiny, little fragments of nitzutzei kedusha that are not elevated throughout the entire golus. And they only can be elevated right before Mashiach comes. They're saved for last. And how are they elevated? The Rebbe says an interesting thing. They are not elevatable through any kind of direct contact with the nitzutz. In other words, there's no way that you can elevate it by interacting with the davar that needs to be mizbarer, with the object, the person, the entity. You can't elevate it through any, because the nitzutz is so shut down. It's so desensitized that nothing you will do to connect to that nitzutz, to connect to that spark. Now, obviously, we don't walk around with a nitzutz detector and we're running around and waiting till the light goes beep, beep, beep. But we go about our job doing, being Makariv Yidden, being Makariv, whatever it is, Yidden, Goyim, everything that Rebbe wants us to be Makariv. Elevate all the Nyanim. So we elevate these things. That means that you're interacting with the object, person, entity, phenomenon, whatever it is, and through that you're causing a birir hanitzutzes. The Rebbe says these nitzutzes are not elevated that way because there's no one to talk to. No one is home. You can knock and knock and knock. The words that Rebbe uses in the Maimer, Ad Kedei Kach, the entire nitzutz went dark. And even more than that, the nitzutz is assisting the other side. It's the concept of chaticha atzma nasa nevela, that even a nitzutz of a kosher piece of meat can become considered not kosher. In this case, even the nitzutz. The only thing that's left in that nitzutz is the essence of it, the etzem. But the etzem can't be communicated in any way. The only way you elevate that etzem of that nitzutz is by being megala your own etzem. Only when your essence is revealed, just the mere fact that your essence is revealed, it reveals and uncovers the nitzutzei kedusha that are buried so deep that there's nothing left to them but their essence. And the Rebbe says that's how, you know how you accomplish that? That's called avodas hanisyonos. That's avoda of nisyonos. That's not, nisyonos means test. That's not your regular way of shlichus work or interaction or what we do, not, whether shlichus or not shlichus, but every neshama is a shlich to coming to this world to do a certain birur in the world. You do not elevate and sublimate these sparks through any other way. What happens is you are presented with a challenging situation. And the idea of a nisayon, as the Rebbe explains it, means something is placed in front of you for the mere fact of making it dark, for making it heavy, for making it to create an obstruction, to create a challenge. And what's the avoda? What does the Eberster want? Only one thing. That we need to dig and dig and dig and dig into the very, very core of our being and uncover our commitment to the Eberster that's by hook and by crook. And we call that Yechidush HaBenefesh. The Yechidush HaBenefesh comes out only when we have obstacles and we have challenges and the challenges stand in our way. And over here, the whole point of what the Eberster put in front of us is only to force you to bring out your nitzis. This is the meaning of the pasuk as explained. Nosato l'deyecha, the Eberster has given nes, has given him losh nisayan, he has given a nisayan, l'yisnoiseis, to lift you up, mipnei koishet tzela, because of the infinite eternal truth. Koishet is truth. This is in order to be megale your truth. Your truth, the truth of your essence, of your neshama. And when through the gili of our essence, you're actually transforming your community more than all the pulas that you're doing. Because you're affecting the etzem, certain in yonim that are not touched by anything you will do. Because everybody in shlichus kind of gets the feeling and the knowledge and the understanding, who are the peoples that are the door that I will bring a challah before Shabbos, who I'm knocking on, who I'm inviting, who I'm not, and who's the guy who's going to pour or whatever, he's going to throw, right? He's gonna shove me out the house, that I'm leaving him alone. In other words, I know that this guy, forget about it. He's deeply entrenched in the reform, and he doesn't want to see Chabad, he doesn't want anything to do with that, or who knows where else, and this guy, and we all know. So there are certain places, people we affect, and those that we don't affect. But through Avodas HaNisyonos, we actually uncover, reveal, and bring forth. Now, what is a nisayon? What is a nisayon? Nisayon comes in many forms. So the Tzemach Tzedek in the famous, in the back of Derech Mitzasecha, there's a maimer, Achrei Hashem Elokeichem Teilechu. So there's a long arichas. This maimer that we're learning is a lot based on the Tzemach Tzedek's, which is based on the Alter Rebbe's Achrei and Lekuti Torah. But over there, it's discussed, there's all kinds of different nisayonis. So obviously, you'll understand when it comes to a nisayon, there is a type of a nisayon where the nisayon is directly, someone moved into the neighborhood, is making you crazy. He keeps on calling the police on you on every event. He keeps on everything. You say, this person is just a nuisance, just here to interfere with my Aveda. So we understand that that's a nisayon. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Try to send him a cheesecake before Shavuos? Maybe it'll work. But if the person is such a anti-whatever, whether, you know, let's say he's not a Jew, he's an anti-Semite. What are you going to do? Spend the garnished health. So what does the Alter Rebbe say when you have someone who, when you're trying to daven and the guy is making you crazy during davening? What does the Alter Rebbe say? Machzich nishvisendik. Don't make yourself, and the reason this person is there driving you crazy during mincha and talking to you when you're trying to daven is because the Eberster wants you to go deeper into yourself, to be megala your essence, and dafka from the guy driving you insane, right? So the Rebbe is explaining in this mimer something very gishmak, that the in a sense, nisyonis, when nisyonis come our way, we're dealing with a reality that is not a real reality. It's not a real mitzias. We're dealing with a fog. The Eberster on purposely is leading you through a dark cloud, a fog. There's no real mitzias to that fog. There's no real substance to it. So other nitzutze kedusha, when we're talking about the bigger nitzutzim that we discussed earlier, the nitzutzim that we've been dealing with throughout all of history, those are nitzutzim that are real nitzutzim. There is a nitzutz there, there's something there, and therefore there's some kind of substance to this reality. When we're dealing with the with a mirage, with an isayin, which is kind of like a dimyan, the Rebbe puts it and he says it's like a dimyan, it's like an imagination, which we're going to have a lot to talk about and how we can even apply it to our situation, but we're going to get to there soon. When you have a situation that's more like the Rebbe says it's a dimyan ba'alma, it's not even a real thing, because it doesn't have a metzias for itself, its entire existence is to disturb you and provoke you. So the example, the Rebbe doesn't say this in the Maimer, but I think it is always the way I always understood it, if I can share a thought that probably this is what it means. If you take a look at the Jewish people for 500, 600 years living in Russia, okay? So we had, the government of Russia was always a menace. I don't know how long the Tsar government goes back. A couple hundred years.
They were always a menace to Yiddishkeit. They always made hardships. They always made difficult. And our Rabbeim and Bechlal Gedolei Yisrael had to deal with them. And they're back and forth and back and forth. Over there, the Avoida was Birur HaNitzutzes. Because Russia was one of the Shivim Amim, one of the 70 nations that need to be Misakin. Our job as Yidden is to be Misakin Olam. We have to be Misakin the world. So we need to deal with this nation and that nation. So the Yidden in Poland had to elevate the Polish government, and they didn't, and that came through all their interactions. And when you got them to be Mevatel de Gezeira for whatever, that was a bitter. That was an elevation. The Alter Rebbe talks about how great it was when the Russian government were participating, and they themselves were saying, "Wow!" They were surprised at the Geula, the Alter Rebbe's Yutes Kislev Geula. That's when it came to Russia. How about when it came to the Soviet Union? So we find that our Rabbeim had a whole different approach. Their approach was not to go and tinker and argue and this and try to send a message of work and try to manipulate the government ahead in Ahin. What was the work? The work was Mesiras Nefesh. And the Friedrich Rebbe, like when you saw when he went, when he was in Kast, when he was in where was he? Which jail was he in? Spolenka, the Friedrich Rebbe's approach was not that he was arguing with them. The Friedrich Rebbe's approach was he's not giving them any chashivis whatsoever. They don't exist. He dismissed them. They have no power. They're nothing. Obviously, he's sitting there. He's so far, he writes the drama that he was experiencing. He's so close, chas v'shalom, and he hears them taking out people, shooting them like this. But yet, the Friedrich Rebbe is nish mischashiv with them. It means he's not acknowledging them at all. They're garnished. I watched a little clip a few months ago. Someone sent the Rebbe sitting by Fabrengen, and it was in the 70s, in the early 70s, and they said that they should say, the Rebbe says they should say L'chaim for the Yidden in Russia. And the Rebbe uses the term, the Rebbe says, Zogen L'chaim for the Yidden was an unter de Mesach HaBarzel. So the Rebbe says, Miruftas, they call it Mesach HaBarzel, the Rebbe says, they call it Mesach HaBarzel, aber ich bin das Bechlau nicht Geures. This is what the Rebbe says. I am Bechlau not Geures, this Mesach HaBarzel. It's an iron curtain. It looks powerful. It looks like a 1,000-pound bear. It's huge. But yet, the Rebbe says it's not a real Metzias. Now, how many Chassidim were killed by this non-real Metzias? How much suffering was there? But what do you see in the end? What do you see in the end? What happened? The way it came down, the way it came down poof overnight. It disappeared. It's like whatever, it was such a powerful force, and yet, one night, the Rebbe is talking about the miracles. Okay, of course it's the miracles of the Geula, as the Rebbe says, and so on and so forth. But the reason it disappears overnight is because its main inyan was not that there was a nitzutz there that we need to be mevadet. It came to bring out the koyach ha-mesiras nefesh by the Yidden in Russia. Once it was megala, the koyach ha-mesiras nefesh, sadly it took 70 years. That means for that mesiras nefesh to be enough for whatever tikkun needed to be, we don't understand that. But at the end, once that was nizgala, it disappeared completely. So that's what the Rebbe explains is the whole concept of Nisyonis. The concept of Nisyonis is that we are faced with realities which are put in front of us, and their sole purpose is to provoke us, which means to help bring out a commitment, in our case, a commitment to the Eibishter, a commitment to Torah and Mitzvahs, a commitment to Shlichus, and of course a commitment to the Rebbe that is unbreakable. And that's what comes out as a result of these Nisyonis. Now, when the Tzemach Tzedek goes through, going back to the Derech Metzesech, when the Tzemach Tzedek goes through what constitutes a Nisayon, he lists about seven things that are called Nisyonis. This type of a Nisayon, that type of a Nisayon. And one of the big Nisyonis, he says, is when a person experiences what we call Menias Habrias Haguf, Menias Parnasa. In other words, you find yourself in a state where things are not going good, there is a deficiency in health, which, as I read that, obviously applies in our cases. We have a situation where there is a mania, the Eibishter is holding back. Really, our kinderlich should all be healthy, they should all be good. And now, the Eibishter holds back something. And as a result of that, we go through difficulties and hardship. And the nekudovi here is that it's meant to bring out our yechidah shebenefesh, our connection, our deep love. But here's the nekut, here's the chap of the maimer is that that is being mevarer the nitzutz that otherwise is not being elevatable. Because the reason why the Eibishter created an unelevatable nitzutz in something is because the nitzutz was put there not for its sake. It was put there to challenge you. Therefore, the moment you're megale, your connection to the Eibishter, you reveal how deeply bond, then you're elevating those nitzutz. And the Rebbe says, once we're done with that, we're finished. Maybe, could be, I haven't, the Mashpiyim talk about this or try to figure this out, maybe this is included maybe as a beginning of what the Rebbe said when the Rebbe said that we finished Nistaima Avoides Abirurim. We finished Avoides Abirurim. And everybody's cocking their head in the wall. What does that mean? You finished Avoides Abirurim. What are we doing? What are we doing now if the Avoides Abirurim is over? So there is other explanations. Now there's an Avoid of Yechudim. There is higher, different explanations. But one of the Biurim could be is that we're entering more into a level of nesiyonis. And the taka happened when the Rebbe said, Avoides Abirurim is over, then we had Gimel Tammuz. And what is it? It's a nesiyon. It's a nesiyon to make us feel that it's over and fartik and the whole thing failed and so on and so forth. But a chassid, deep inside his neshama, at the core of his being, knows, fang tzich nishtan. Whatever the Rebbe said is emes, and it's true, and we are growing. Take a look at Lubavitch. We're exploding, we're growing. The Rebbe shlichus is like, unbelievable. So that's a nisayon. The whole and it's in concealment, and then we're going to open our eyes, and the Rebbe is here, and our sister. So it's a blur. It's a concealment. So when it comes with our children, as with these particular situations that we have, yes, there is all the regular avoidance that we do. When the Eibishter throws in, and today's days, it's frightening. How many shluchim have children with autism, with other physical, and it's sadly enough. Way die. But as we go to retreats, more and more people. So it seems like there is and we scream at Masai, but there is something to it. If it wouldn't be part of the shlichus, then we wouldn't be experiencing this. This is the shlichus. This is part of our shlichus. And when we realize that, we realize, so when I'm dealing, for 5-6 hours or a day or 3 days, I'm in the hospital, I have to take care of my kid, my shlichus was not suspended. Actually, I'm actually impacting my city and my entire makam, my shlichus, with so many degrees right now in these three days, much more than Paulus I would have done for 2-3 years. And I'm reaching things. Why? Because of what's happening in my neshama and my soul. I feel beaten. I feel broken. I'm sitting there. I'm crying. I'm weeping. I'm coming home. I have no koiches anymore. But the fact that I still go over to my Chabad house the next day and I say, no, I'm here. I'm alive. What's that? That's your etzema neshama. That's your etzema nefesh that came out. And it's a game changer. Now you're changed. And your entire, the very environment has become completely transformed because of the depth of your own soul that was revealed. So these are just nekudas that are there in the Maimer. If I can add one more nekuda, the Rebbe over there speaks in the Maimer about that at once your chiddush ebenefesh is revealed. Oh no, let me just step back for 1 minute. He says another idea. Once the nitzitz of your essence has been revealed, there's no need anymore for the nisayan to continue bothering you. In other words, the idea of nisayonis are, they can last for quite a while. It's a puff. It's this darkness. It's there for a while. In the end, once you pass the nisayon, it disappears. So I'm trying to figure that out. How does that mean to situations like ours? What do you mean? The illness is going away. The situation is going away. So first of all, we're living in a new age, in a world of incredible advances in medication, in which it could be in your mind, you're looking at a lifelong situation where you say, Gavald, how am I going to live with this the rest of my life? And guess what? A year or a few months later, a new treatment comes out, you start giving it a new thing, and suddenly your whole life changed. Mamish, your whole life changed. The shliach is not here right now, but he's going to be here later. I know he gave someone permission to tell the story. I'm not going to tell the story. Maybe we're going to read it. We're going to sit together and fabring with him later. But he had a kid. He has a kid. Autistic, autism, making them crazy, Shankama, but totally the kid is locked up in a world that they never were able to communicate. Just a few months ago, they were led to a new therapist who started a whole new therapy, and suddenly their child opened up. And this kid, who they thought is so completely cut off from them, is telling them everything about how much he loves his father and how much he appreciates and how much he sees the hardship. The kid is communicating. Now, is he healed? No. But so much of the darkness that they're going through has disappeared like this. And our own child that has had cystic fibrosis, when he was born, we thought that Fartik, if I don't kind of lie, we read on about cystic fibrosis and we thought that that life was... Baruch Hashem, just in the last 2 years, medications came out. He is kamat healed, literally. Mamish does not... He goes to the doctor still, but there's not... Everything is perfect. Usually it affects the lungs. He eats normally, got rid of his G-tube. He's healthy. It's unbelievable. So what you look at is a lifetime. So there is, but in addition to that, even if we're not talking about a complete healing in the situation, but in our, amongst our challenges with our special needs children, we have these extra troubles that keep on coming our way. You have a therapist that you loved so much, that was doing so well, and suddenly the agency pulled them, and now you're without it. Or suddenly the school doesn't want to deal with every, you know, how this works. So we all have situations where this is not working, that's not working. And here is where I'm saying, where I think the Rebbe is talking about, that it, once our essence is not crushed, and it's not shaykh that our essence should be crushed. We're yidden, we have a neshama, it's a piece of the Eberster. What gets broken is the outside, and the inside is revealed. And when that inside is revealed, so then these problems, so many of them just fall away in a miracle, and the shliach suddenly, and the people you meet will say, oh, what an amazing story. Suddenly everything turned around. And that's because the whole kavanah of it was only to bring us to this state. Now, the conclusion of the Maimer, the Rebbe says that once your Yechidah Sheb Nefesh is revealed, it's L'chatchila, not a Nisoyan anymore. It's because to your Yechidah Sheb Nefesh, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter, because you're in a state of such devotion to the Eberster that your material and physical things in this world don't matter. And I'm reading that, and I'm thinking, this is what the Alter Rebbe talks about. Hen v'lav shavim etzloi. It's like the concept of the Baal Shem Tov called Shevisi Hashem l'negdi samid. Shevisi means everything is an ashava, that you're in a state where, yeah, no, it's going good, it's going bad. My life is the Eberster. I couldn't care less about physical problems. So the Alter Rebbe talks about that in Laskil Chabina. So when you learn that part of the Maimah, you're thinking, come on, that's already for the big chassidim. That's already for people that can rise beyond all physicality and live in such a devoted spiritual state and such a deep commitment to what's true and what's real and disregard everything as... But we know we're not that way. We know hen v'lav is not shavim etzleinu. We're not in a state where when things are good or things are bad are equal. We get depressed, we get down, we go through. You know, we're in a situation, I'm in a situation that if there's five pieces of sushi left and someone swoops it up a minute before I get there, it's not at all hen v'lav shavim etzloi. I'm not going to sleep for 3 nights. That's, right? So what do you mean? And I try to identify with what the Rebbe is saying in the Maimer. But the truth is, it might be that when it comes to our small taivas and our small inyanim, we're not there. But the truth is we are there. We have no idea how yechidetik we are. Why? Because the fact that we have, everybody's at a different level of how much and how difficult their situations are. But the fact that notwithstanding our difficulties and hardships, we're still smiling, we're still operating, we're still singing, we're still dancing, we have serious hardships. We have situations where other people are living life so much more easier than we are. And they're able to have so many pleasures and delights of travel and this and that. And we can't, because we're kind of bogged down and there's no one to babysit, no one to take care. And it's a nonstop headache and so on and so forth. So these are frustrations. So then if Gashmias, if the material physical world and all these things would be our essence, then we wouldn't be able to continue. We would be mamished walking around as depressed people. But when you come, I haven't sat around much with everybody over here yet, but my experience when I come to these retreats is that I'm not walking around with a bunch of muddish chaydadigah people. Not at all. Shluchim are alive, we're excited, we're full of vibrancy. Yes, we have a peckle, and at moments in the retreat it gets heavy. We sit, we talk, we get it out. And it's difficult and hard, but it's not like that because of the situation that we have, we're completely knocked out. And that is because we are the Rebbe's chassidim and the Rebbe's yechida, and the Rebbe's megala, the yechida shebe nefesh in all of us. And if the fact that we can be shluchim and do what we do and continue and with simcha and with joy and with energy is a sign that our true essence is a lukus. And on a very deep, real way, hein v'lav shavim etzloi. Yeah or no is equal to us, because what really gets us excited is the fact that Ashreinu Matov Chelkeinu, that we've scored the big of landing in this world as a yid, as a chassid, as a shliach, in Dor HaShvi, as the Rebbe says, the last generation of Golas, the first generation of Geula. We are the most pivotal people, the most important, and playing the biggest role ever in all of existence. And that is crazy awesome. And we all know that. And because of that, we're alive. And that is Yechidu Shebe Nefesh. L'chaim.
Huh?